Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good time for our weekly chat with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. He's been busy over the last 24 hours with all the AFC North news that's come in with trades. Brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. The Steelers atop the division, watching the rest of the division burn. Joe Flacco's changing Ohio zip codes. A rare in-division trade between the Browns and Bengals, Mike. Not only is he going to Cincinnati, but he's now going to start against the Packers on Sunday. He's never played in this offensive system before. He has no familiarity with the coaching staff there. And that team is so desperate, they believe a 40-year-old who is going to play behind one of the worst offensive lines in football is the right guy and gives them the best chance to win. What do you know about this situation? Explain it to me, Mike.
Well, the offensive system is pretty simple. One play, throw it this way to Ja'Marr Chase. Next play, throw it that way to T. Higgins, and just lather, rinse, repeat all game long. And that was their approach with Jake Browning. The problem is Jake Browning wasn't completing enough of the passes, and it was exposing how this team is built solely around the passing game. They don't have a running game. Their defense has been undermined by all the money they've spent on quarterback and receiver. So they just needed somebody better than Jake Browning. And 2 years ago, Jake Browning was 4-3 in seven games as a starter. He had decent numbers. This year, it just wasn't happening, and they were stubborn until they weren't. And I think this was a move of desperation because you're about ready to throw in the towel on the season if you keep banging your head against the wall with Jake Browning. So I'm surprised they didn't call the Giants to see if they could get Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson. My understanding is that didn't happen. They end up getting Joe Flacco for a fifth-round pick, and they got a sixth-round pick back, so it's not much of an investment. It's not much of a financial investment either. We know the Bengals like that. And it's just let's roll the dice and see what happens. And, you know, Flacco's basically in the NFC North because he's going to see the Packers for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike, you took my next question, my follow-up about whether they called the Giants or not right off the table. I mean, you talk to people around the league, do they think there's still something left with Flacco and that throwing to maybe the best pure receiver in the league and one of the best number twos in the league, he can actually find it again like he caught lightning in a bottle with the Browns a couple years ago?
Well, he started, the first four games of the year. Now, the problem is he was clearly the weakness in the Cleveland offense. Statistically, he was the bottom the last time I checked of all qualifying starting quarterbacks with passer rating, and he's thrown 6 interceptions in 4 games. 2 interceptions, though, twice, that's still one fewer than we saw from Jake Browning on Sunday. So if he only throws 2, it's an improvement. I think that he's better. You know, I was saying, you have a backup who's not good enough to be a starter. And if there are starters available who had been benched, those are the guys that you want to target. So the guy's a starter. He won one of the starting jobs. I don't know if it's going to make the Bengals any better. I'll be stunned if they go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. They just needed to do something, I think, to hold this team together and maybe to take some of the heat off of Zach Taylor because, you know, I think the biggest concern for him isn't that ownership wakes up and says we need a different coach. It's Joe Burrow
right,
watching the games, recovering from that serious toe injury, recognizing that they don't have anything beyond me and they haven't done anything to enhance the team beside me and the two guys that I throw to the most often. Maybe I need a new head coach if I'm ever going to get to where I want to go. And, you know, Burrow, I feel like it's inevitable. And I don't want to predict this, but if things ever go a certain way for him, he becomes the next Carson Palmer and he just refuses to play for the Bengals and then they're stuck.
Mike, why would the Browns do this? I mean, I don't think Joe Flacco is going to turn that team around, but why would you give potentially a division rival some help get rid of a veteran quarterback to help mentor your young quarterbacks, and all you get out of it is a swap of fifth and sixth round picks.
Because you got something for a guy that otherwise was going to be on your roster. And if you did cut him, you still owe his salary for the rest of the year. It becomes guaranteed as of week one for anybody with four or more years of service. So they got something. And we know how the Browns are. It's all about analytics. It's all about stockpiling draft picks. They don't care who they trade a guy to. They had an opportunity to turn something into value, and it didn't hurt them because Joe Flacco is not going to play. Before they would go back to him, they'd go to Shedeur Sanders. For now, it's Dylan Gabriel. And hell, who knows? Deshaun Watson may be back at some point.
Oh, God.
So I just think it was a no-lose proposition for the Browns. And really, they've concluded Joe Flacco isn't good enough. So if the Bengals want him, take him.
Yeah,
please.
Good point.
Here,
fair point.
You're going to give us a draft pick for him? You know, it's better than us having to give a draft pick to you to get him off the roster.
Mike, do you put it in stone that Shedeur Sanders will be QB2 this weekend, or do you think Bailey Zappi still has a chance to sneak in there late in the week?
They put out an updated depth chart yesterday after the trade, and it showed Shedeur Sanders at number two. Well, he's the only other one on the roster. Bailey Zappi's on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
When Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the team, declined to name who the number two quarterback is today, yeah, there's a chance they activate Zappi to the active roster this weekend and he becomes the number two. Or who knows what else may happen. They may make some other move. But I don't think they believe that Sanders is ready to be one play away from playing. So I think the fact that Stefanski wouldn't say it today.
Yep.
Tells me that he's leaning toward it being Zappi. And I don't think they're going to add some other quarterback. I just think it's going to be Zappi because Zappi's played a lot more than Sanders. And if there's an injury during the game, he's the guy you'd want to go in.
Mike, the Ravens struggles well chronicled here. I've said that Zach Gore's starting to remind me of Matt Canada there, where they have a defensive coordinator problem. They don't seem to want to address it. They tried last year with Dean Pease. They had him hold his hand. Pease leaves. Now you've got a bad defensive coordinator again. Problem didn't rectify itself. Injuries haven't helped. I get that part. How about the trade they made yesterday? I mean, they took a guy off their roster who had 10 sacks last year, young player in his 20s, traded him to the other Harbaugh in L.A. I mean, that was a surprising move. That you would take a guy like that. You can't get to the quarterback right now. Why would you trade one of your better pass rushers?
They're desperate for help on the back end of the defense. That's it, plain and simple. And Oweh's in his fifth-year option. If you've already decided you're not going to keep him, go ahead and move him now because they get a backup safety who probably steps in to start. And they also added C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the practice squad. That's a guy that's been fired by multiple teams this year as a practical matter. So it just shows you how desperate they are with the injuries in the secondary. And Mike Green, the guy from Marshall, who was a second-round pick this year for the Ravens, he's playing well enough that you could make the argument, hey, if this guy's not going to be here next year, Oweh, let's go ahead and make the move now and try to get some help just to hold this thing together. It is amazing when you look at the Bengals and the Ravens. We're 5 weeks, as of tomorrow, away from the start of the regular season. How quickly it's changed and how two high-level Super Bowl window contenders have completely fallen off. And for the Bengals, it's about Burrow. For the Ravens, it's just this accumulation, this critical mass of injuries, and also just their own ineffectiveness. It's amazing. The Ravens are still the betting favorite of yesterday to win the division, which makes no sense to me. But it really is amazing how it can happen like that. And here the Steelers are almost by default in first place in the AFC North.
Do you think if the Ravens don't play Jackson this weekend, and it seems like it's trending towards that again and giving him 3 weeks off, Mike, and they lose to the Rams, Steelers beat the Browns, do you think eventually after that the division odds would flip?
They have to.
Because it feels like the Ravens' plan here, Mike, and I wonder if you agree with me, is give Jackson 3 weeks off. We know our defense is kind of screwed. Hope he's fully healthy and then try to go 10-1 down the stretch after a 1-5 start. That actually seems like they're...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Plan.
Well, I think that people who gamble need to come to terms with the fact that the Ravens aren't what we thought they were going to be. And I don't know this. All I know is how awkward it was the last time Lamar Jackson was trying to get a new contract. And even though he's got two more seasons after this one, for which he signed with the Ravens, there was talk before the season about possible negotiations.
Yep.
Jackson don't want to talk about it. He represents himself with the help of his mother. The Ravens just at least mentioned the door's open. I think Jackson looks at some of these other quarterback deals and wonders, where do I fit in this? Where's my contract that fixes the disparity as 60 is now the magic number in a roundabout way for quarterbacks? And I say that because the last time he was in that mode, anytime he'd have an injury, and he had a couple of late season injuries, we didn't see him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a business decision where, look, if you're not going to take care of me, I'm not going to go out there and put myself at risk unless and until I'm fully and completely 100%. So I think that subtext is relevant here, and it would speak to Jackson being out longer than maybe anyone would expect. And when you're talking about a hamstring, for a guy who relies so much on mobility, anybody who's ever had a hamstring injury, and I had one 33 years ago, and it was hell to get rid of it, because every time you think you're healthy, you go out there and you run and you try to go full speed and it grabs you again. And so I could see Jackson staying out as long as he needs to, and then maybe even longer, because he's in this mode where he's trying to get paid and he deserves to get paid. And why am I going to put myself at risk if I have an injury and rush back and possibly make it worse?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. That was all good news for the Steelers in the AFC North. Thank you, Mike.
Man, we got no questions about Jerry Jones accidentally going thumbs up. Like,
yep.
You know, that's a real condition. You think you're giving a thumbs up and you actually give the middle finger. They need to have a name for that. Other than senility.
I just think, Mike, we all know, let he who has not tried to give a thumbs up and accidentally flash the bird at somebody cast the first stone, right? I mean, it happens to all of us.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.